Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, please. This passage tonight is an exciting passage because it shows us the importance of having assurance. And as you'll see, not only assurance about our salvation, but assurance of answered prayer. And because of the Word of God, we should have assurance. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hear by the Word of God. And so John encourages us in this evening, beginning in verse 19 of 1 John 3. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So I'm going to take my title there from verse 19, Assure Our Hearts. Let's pray. Lord, please give us Your wisdom. Meet with us tonight. Guide us in Your truth, Lord. And I pray You'll change us through Your Word. We'll open our hearts and allow You to speak to us and change us and work miracles in our lives. We give You this service and love You and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see firstly, verse 19, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We've already seen that 1 John records a lot of what we would call evidences of salvation. We saw one last week. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. One of the evidences that we're saved is immediately we get this internal concern for our lost loved ones after we get saved. Where does that come from? It comes from God. We're a new creature. And John shares some others, but he's telling us in this particular passage that our hearts can be assured about where we are with the Lord, that we are of the truth, that we're in Christ, that we're saved. And God wants us to have this assurance because without it, our Christian lives aren't going to be stable. And we've all met Christians that believe you can lose your salvation and their Christian life is unstable. Because sometimes they're saved and sometimes they're not saved. And their Christian lives are up and down depending on the circumstances. When life is going good, then they must be saved. And when life is going bad, they must be lost. That's not how it's supposed to work. God says that we can have assurance. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. Most of you know this verse. It's a great verse because it basically gives us the reason why John wrote this epistle. He tells us, he said, these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Having eternal life is not a maybe. It's something that we can know based on the Word of God. We know that if we've trusted Christ, we know that if we've believed the gospel, that we can know that we have eternal life. John says, I've written this epistle to encourage you that you can know that you have eternal life. Not wonder or hope so, but know it. So back in our passage, he says down in verse 24 of the same chapter, chapter 3, He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. There's that word know again. The word know or knowledge shows up 38 times in this little epistle. Of course, that's not the most common word. Anybody remember what the most common word is in 1 John? Love. Love. Loveth, loving. Shows up 46 times in this 5-chapter epistle. God is love, but God wants us to have assurance. So, the first thing that we're to have assurance of is, as we see in this verse 19, our salvation. Our salvation. And you know that the Bible teaches that we can't lose our salvation? Praise the Lord. There are at least 7 reasons in the Bible why we can't lose our salvation. I'm going to share the 7 with you quickly, because this is important. Number 1, the Bible says when we're saved, we receive eternal life. John says in chapter 5, verse 24, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Present possession, everlasting life. If we could lose our salvation, our life wasn't very everlasting, was it? It was temporary. So everlasting means everlasting. Number 2, the Bible teaches, and we've already seen it, the beginning of the chapter, that when we're saved, we become children of God. or sons of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. The whole manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We become children of God and we're saved. To lose our salvation, it means we become God's child and then we're not God's child. And then we are God's child and then we're not God's child. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work that way. That's why it's called being born again. We're born into a new family. We become part of God's family. We're more born again. We become His child. Number 3, the Bible says that when we're saved, all of our sins are forgiven. Colossians 2:13 says, "He hath forgiven you all trespasses." That's all. That includes every single sin that we have committed and will commit. Because how many of our sins were future when Jesus died on the cross? All of them. And when we get saved, they're all paid for by the blood of Jesus. They're all forgiven, even the ones we haven't committed yet, which is hard for us to put our heads around, but it's a fact. Which means that we can't someday commit a sin to cause us to lose our salvation. It's already forgiven. Number 4, when we're born again, we are placed into Jesus. We are put in Christ. The Bible says, "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The Bible says we are placed into Christ. We become part of Him. Jesus says we are safe and secure in His hand in John chapter 10. We're safe and secure in the Father's hand. We're part of Him now. To lose our salvation, we'd have to be ripped back out and then placed back in and then ripped back out. So that's another reason why we can't lose our salvation. Number five, the Bible says that God keeps our salvation. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God." Paul says, "I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ," in Philippians 1:6. We don't keep our salvation, God does. If we had to keep it, we're pretty weak. We'd probably lose it. Because the devil's pretty crafty. But we don't keep it, God does. Number 6, when we become saved, Jesus becomes our intercessor. We read about that in chapter 2. He's in heaven interceding on our behalf. He intercedes for every accusation the devil might try to make. To say that we could lose our salvation would say that Jesus' intercession isn't sufficient, which is pretty ridiculous. And lastly, the Bible says when we're saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Right? Ephesians 4:30, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. We become sealed by God. The Holy Spirit becomes the earnest or the down payment of our salvation. We're told that in Ephesians chapter 1. So that would mean the devil would have to have the power to break one of God's seals, which he doesn't. So we cannot lose our salvation. God says we're to assure our hearts before Him that we are of the truth. So the first thing that we assure our hearts of in verse 19 is that we are Christians. Because the Bible goes on to say in verse 20 of our passage, "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." What in the world does that mean? It means that if we have fallen into sin, which happens sometimes, and our heart's condemning us through conviction, we're still saved. We're just not in a good place. Our heart might be condemning us. What's God waiting for? For us to confess and to make it right. But it doesn't mean that we're not His children anymore. It doesn't mean we're not saved anymore. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. Here's what happens. It says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." This is another one of those evidences of salvation from this epistle, that we are given a desire to obey God when we're saved, because we have a new nature. We have the divine nature, as in 2 Peter chapter 1. But unfortunately, we have a second nature that's still hanging around, the old man, and sometimes we listen to him instead of the new man. And when that happens, our heart might condemn us, which is a good thing, because it leads us to repentance, leads us to confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. So God says that essentially when we sin, it can remove, if you will, some of the flow of that assurance, which is why people who believe you can lose salvation, the times that they believe they're lost are the times when they're sinning. Makes sense. But that doesn't change the fact that we're saved, because our salvation is not based on our feelings. It's not based on anything except what God says. Amen? And it's sealed. It's done. He goes on to say in verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. In other words, a clear conscience. That's why we're told, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because what happens when we allow sin into our lives? It affects our prayer life. Right? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. So what happens is, if we allow sin into our lives, that confidence that we read about here in verse 21 can be affected. Doesn't change whether or not we're saved, but it changes the confidence. And God wants us to be confident. So if we are confident, what happens is it leads to this security. And then, of course, if we're secure on the foundation of our salvation, what are we going to do? Serve God. Christians who are backslidden are not serving God because they're not confident. They don't have that assurance. They need to come back to the Lord. So, the Lord makes it clear. Notice chapter 3, verse 26. Is there a chapter 3, verse 26? Nope, it must be a different book. One of the books in the Bible, in chapter 3, verse 26, says, the Lord shall be thy confidence. I think it's Isaiah, but I'm not sure. The Bible has a lot to say about confidence. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's confidence. Remember when Jesus gave his discourse on the bread of life in John chapter 6, and a lot of the disciples turned their backs and walked away? They said, this isn't hard saying. Who can see it? Hear it. Jesus didn't turn to the disciples and say, please stay. He turned to the disciples and said, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure, he says. In John 6, verse 69, he says, we believe and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's confidence. He said, we're not going to leave you. We know who you are. We're sure that you are the Son of God. We're sure you're the Christ. And that confidence, of course, led to great things in the book of Acts, didn't it? What changed? You know, they went from hiding out in a room to winning the world for Christ. Something changed. Their confidence changed. Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, we serve a risen Savior. And he gave them their marching orders. And then he gave them his own presence in the person of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And everything changed. They received power. So we can see how important this confidence, this assurance is in our Christian lives. God wants us to be confident about our salvation. But there's another thing he wants us to be confident about, verse 22. And that is that God answers prayer. Look what he says. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Every Christian should have the assurance not only of his salvation, but of answered prayer. And the ones who don't, it means that they're not where they need to be in their fellowship with God. They've allowed sin to come into their lives and take that assurance of answered prayer away, because their prayers aren't effective. Because sin can do that. Again, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. In Proverbs 28:9. If we turn our backs on the Word of God, our prayers aren't effective. If we hide sin in our hearts, our prayers aren't effective. If we refuse to forgive others, our prayers aren't affected. Because God says if we don't, then He's not going to forgive. That has nothing to do with going to heaven, but it has to do with our fellowship with Him. So He makes it very clear here in verse 22 that if we're walking in obedience, because notice there's a because in this verse, we could just stop and start our own cult. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, and put a full stop there and start our own cult. That's how cults get started, by the way. You take Scripture out of context and say, yep, our cult says that we can ask God for anything and He will provide it at any time. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter where we are. God's going to provide it. But that's not what God says. He says because. Because what? We keep His commandments. Because we're walking in obedience. If we're walking in obedience, then we can have the assurance that God will answer our prayers. He goes on to say in chapter 5, I believe it's down in verse 14, a similar statement. He says, and this is the confidence, there's that word again, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He heareth us. There's that word confidence again, but again, the confidence is conditional on our prayers lining up with the will of God. Well, how does that happen? It means that we're in the Word of God. That's why Jesus said in John 15, if ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15, 7. So God wants us to be living a Christian life of assurance and confidence, knowing I'm saved, and that will never change. The devil can't do anything about it. I am confident in my salvation, and I know that my God is hearing my prayers because He's answering them all the time. Every Christian should have that kind of confidence in their lives, that kind of assurance. What takes it away? Well, we've seen. Sin. Sin. If our heart condemn us. Verse 20. What's the alternative? Verse 21, if our heart condemn us not. So if our heart's condemning us, we need to listen to it and do something about it. Get to God, confess it, seek His face, make it right. So that the confidence and the assurance will be back. God doesn't take it away and put it back. We do it ourselves. God never changes. God never moves. But we change. We sin. We don't sin. We walk in obedience and we walk in disobedience. When we're walking in obedience, we're walking in assurance and confidence that we're saved and that God is answering our prayers. That's what God wants us to have. Every Christian to assure our hearts that our God keeps His promises. Amen.